But understand that it's not me that's saying it. It's the Holy Spirit that's saying it through me. Because I am a yielded instrument. That's all I am. So, I got, whose blue mints are these? Anybody have blue mints? Oh, okay. All right. That's funny. Yeah. Old Dave. So, I've been listening to some of the conversations here and there, what people are talking about, and it struck me that there's some things that I think you guys need to hear, maybe need to ponder. And so what I want to do, I want to talk about three things before we get into the scripture, some of the scriptures that I want to look at tonight. And before we do that, let me get this thing set up here. These iPads are pretty cool. I know I kind of talk them down, but they're pretty neat. Told you last night we're going to talk about wheel ruts. But before we do that, don't put that up there yet, Clint. Before we do that, I want to talk about three things, three points. And again, these are things that I've picked up just by listening to you guys talk, listening to the adults talk. And these three points are, number one, to study your Bible for yourself. I was having a conversation with somebody earlier today who basically said that at one point in their life they were told by somebody to don't study the Bible for yourself. Don't worry about opening your Bible and studying it yourself. You let me take care of that. Not me, but this the person they were talking about. In the Middle Ages, one of the reasons why the church as a whole went downhill was because there was the popes who told the people, don't open your Bibles, you won't understand it, you just do what we say. And as a result of that, there were all kinds of bad things that happened. I want to read you one verse in the book of Acts along the lines of studying the Bible for yourself. Acts 17:11 says this, now these were noble-minded, or were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. For they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Now these people were known as the Bereans. And the Bereans, what they would do is when somebody would come along like me or Gene or somebody would come along and preach to them, they'd open their Bibles and they'd go and check it out themselves. They would study it themselves. Okay, and they would do this under the guidance and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So the first thing I want to encourage you guys to do is look for yourself. If you're not sure, if you don't believe us, go check it out yourself. But do it under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. More on that later. Number two, don't worry about your shortcomings. God can use absolutely anybody. The very fact that I'm standing up here doing this proves that God can use anybody. Acts chapter 10, or first or 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. For they say his letters are weighty and strong, but his personal presence is unimpressive and his speech contemptible. Does anybody know who that verse is talking about? Paul, the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest believers to ever walk the earth. He was bow-legged, they say. He was bald. He was short. He was ugly. And he couldn't talk. When he got up in front of people, his speech was not impressive. His words were weighty, and the things he had to say were important, but the way he presented it wasn't that effective. Well, it was effective, but it wasn't, you know, he wasn't Mr. Debonair and Mr. Suave. He wasn't Mr. Great Speaker, is what I'm trying to say. Yet he was one of the greatest believers in the New Testament, in the church age. So God can use anybody. Don't worry about your shortcomings. If you end up getting put in some position of leadership one day and you feel like you just can't cut it, remember this verse. God can use anybody. And finally, the last thing I want to talk about is to stand for something or you will fall for anything. You guys got to learn to stand for something or you're going to fall for anything. Does anybody know what this says on my shirt right here? I know it's at its side, but does anybody know what Milan LeBay means? What? Come and get them, right? Does anybody know the story behind that? Come and take them. In about 450 BC, the date's probably wrong, but there was a place in ancient Greece called Thermopylae. If you've ever seen the movie The 300, it's talking about Thermopylae. And in that battle, there were 300 Spartan warriors. Against those 300 Spartan warriors was somewhere in the neighborhood of a million or so Persians. And so this huge, gigantic Persian army comes against these 300 Spartans at a place called the Hot Gates. And what it was is there was a cliff and there was the ocean. And there was one strip of land between the cliff and the ocean to where the Persian army needed to get through to get on into Greece so they could take the land. But between them, in that place called the Hot Gates, was the 300 Spartans. And so this huge army comes upon the Spartans, and they say, "Spartans, lay down your weapons." And the Spartans, in return, said, "Malon labe," which is Persians, come and take them. Okay? Now there's a spiritual lesson there, guys. You got to stand for something or you're going to fall for anything. All right? So these are three things I want you to think about. I want you to pray about it, and I want you to remember it. All right, moving on. Last night we talked about salvation, preparation, determination, and action, and also reward. We saw the video of Kerry Strug. Tonight we're going to talk about something that's just as important, if not more so, and that is living in light of eternity, in eternity and staying in the wheel ruts. Can you put that slide up, please, sir? Is it already up? Can somebody turn the lights out right up here for just a second? Can't really see it. Don't worry about it. I'll just keep talking until they go off. What this is a road. It's called the Via Domitia. And it's in Spain. And what it did, it's an ancient Roman road. It's been there for 2,000-something years. It's still there today. This is a fairly recent picture. But this road connected Italy and Spain. But what I want you to pay attention to are those wheel ruts. See those? Those were put there over many thousands of years of travel. You can turn the light back on now. And as long as the wagons stayed within those wheel ruts, everything was fine. But if one of those wagons got outside those wheel ruts, then the wheel may break and the wagon would break down and everything would go south from there. When it comes to the spiritual life, guys, we got to learn to stay within the wheel ruts. And what that means is learning to live your spiritual life day by day by day. Day in, day out. Staying on the road, don't go into the right, don't go into the left, but just stay in the middle. Stay in the wheel ruts. It's a consistent day in, day out, moment by moment walk with God. One of the greatest spiritual challenges you young people are going to face is learning to settle down and walk with God every day. Your world that you live in today is so fast-paced. Right? Riley, we recently got an iPhone, what is it, 5C? Something like that, an iPhone 5? Yeah. 5C? Yeah. I have an iPhone 4, I think it is. I've only had it, I think, a year or two, maybe. And from what I'm being told, it's already out of date. It is, okay? It already is. All right? And apparently, you know, the new iPhone 5C in a year or two is going to be out of date. It's crazy. It's just continual. Everything is just always on the move, always getting better, always something new, always this, always that. Fast-paced. Got to get the next new thing, got to get the next new book, the next this, the next that. Yes, sir? There's the man right there. Technology doubles every 5 years. Okay? And I believe it. But you know what never changes? Is this right here. The Word of God never changes. And the challenge for you guys is learning to get out of the fast-paced world and live a day-by-day, moment-by-moment walk with God through Christ. That's what it means to stay in the wheel ruts. That road's been there 2,000 years. They still do use it today. But if you get on that road with a wagon, you better make sure that the wagon wheels are wide enough to stay in the wheel ruts, or at least to stay on the outside of them, okay? But the idea, again, is to stay in those ruts so you can keep moving forward. Psalm 46:10 says, "Cease striving and know that I am God." You know what that means? Slow down a little bit. Take time out and worship the Lord. I used to take martial arts years ago. I made it all the way to a second degree black belt. And one of the things they used to make us do, they'd make us take one of these metal chairs like this, and we'd have to do 500 side kicks over that chair in one class. I don't know if you've ever done that before, but that's a lot of work, and it wears you out. 500 of them. But you know what? It got to the point to where that side kick became second nature. It got to where we could flip those things out there so fast and make them hit just right, okay? And the only reason that happened that way is because we day in, day out practiced, and we stayed in the wheel ruts. Bruce Lee used to say, or did say, "I fear not the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks once, but I fear the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times." And guys, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I mean when I say day in, day out practice. Yes, sir. You are? There you go. Good job. We'll talk about that more later if you want to. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 4. Anybody in here like Bruce Lee? Do you know he was a real deal? Do you know that? He wasn't fake. He wasn't Hollywood, because they couldn't even do the kind of stuff that they with movies that they back then that they can now. Do you know his punch was timed at 1/500th of a second? You know how fast that is? Did you know that he could do a standing sidekick on a 300-pound bag and make it hit the ceiling? 135 pounds, 5'7". Don't you ever think that the little guy cannot whip you. We got a wrestler in here somewhere. This man right here. How much you weigh? 135. I would not wrestle him I don't want to wrestle him. Okay?
It's not that bad. Well, he just took on everybody about four times.
And he beat him, right? Listen. How about the Gracie brothers in MMA, UFC? The Gracie brothers, 160 pounds, takes on a guy twice his size and pins him. Okay, listen, this is what I'm talking about. Now take that whole concept of practice and staying in the fight and staying in the wheel ruts and make a spiritual application to it, and that's what we're talking about here, guys. Pain is temporary, victory is eternal. Hold on, just a second. I want to read this passage first. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. He says, "My son," and this applies to the ladies in here as well, "my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right, nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil." This is good advice. This was written by a man who knows what he's talking about. It's written by King Solomon, one of the richest and most, the richest and wealthiest and most powerful man in the world. And he's telling us to stay on the path, to stay in the wheel ruts. The idea of paying attention in verse 1 means to listen to the Word of God. What you listen to affects you either positive or negative. Right now, you are listening to the Word of God. Remember, there's that word, listen, again. And the challenge is, do it beyond camp. This camp is 1 week long. There's 52 weeks in a year. That means 51 weeks you're going to be away from here. And once you leave this camp, some of you are going to go back to doing exactly what you were doing before you came here. Some of you are going to go back and make some changes. Some of you are going to go back and make changes for a little while, and then you're going to fall off. And some of you are going to make changes that are going to last. And the ones that make the changes that are going to last are going to be the ones that are going to be the winners at the end. He says, keep your eyes on the Word of God. How so? And that means to read it every day. Personal Bible study. Study time with God. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear. Listen to the sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Look. Keep them in the midst of your heart. And the Hebrew way of thinking, the heart was not a place with it, you know, it wasn't a muscle that pumped blood. What it meant was personality, emotion, what makes you who you are. So when you say keep it in the midst, or when he says keep it in the midst of your heart, he's not talking about putting stuff in your muscle in your chest, okay? That's kind of weird, isn't it? You ever see that in the Bible when it says, you know, all the ways of, whenever it talks about heart, I know when I was little, I would read that or I would hear it, and I was trying to figure out how the heart had anything to do with the Bible. You guys ever, did it ever happen to anybody? Yes? No? Am I the only weird one in here? Okay. Yeah, I think so. Listen, when he talks about the heart in this passage, he's talking about what makes you, you. What makes Riley, Riley. Okay? What makes Red, Red. What makes us who we are. What makes us unique. And he wants us, the Word tells us, to keep the Word of God in the midst of who we are. Let the Word of God become a part of your inner person. Why do we do this? Verse 22, for they are life to those who find them and health to their body. Reading the Word of God, taking it in, is a healthy thing to do. We heard Dave Rogers this morning. He gave you, the ladies weren't in here, but the guys were. Dave Rogers, did you guys see him? He's about 6'2", about 250 pounds. He's got all the tattoos. He also used to be a member of an outlaw motorcycle gang. He was what you call a one percenter. And the one percenter are the ones who go out and do all the bad stuff in the motorcycle gangs. That's what he used to do. Okay? He had a lot of junk in his life. But he's replaced all that junk with the Word of God. What you guys need to learn to do is not let the junk in the first place, but let the Word of God come in first. I want to take you to a very interesting word in verse 26. Watch the path of your feet. That word path in the Hebrew, you know what it means? It means wheel rut. What did I just show you? Well, there it is. That's what it means in the Hebrew. It's talking about a wheel rut. Okay? It's actually the Greek word trochea. It means a track. Keep it between the lines. Keep it in the wheel ruts. Make sure everywhere you go, you are in the wheel ruts. This is the way you avoid the pitfalls of life. Turn to the book of Hebrews. Actually, I got the slide for that, don't I? Can you put those Hebrew slides up? Hebrews chapter 12. See, I put it up there so you can read it. Let me turn to it real quick. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 through 17. You guys having a good time at camp?
Yeah!
Thank you. Woke everybody up.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Hebrews 12. I'm going to have to do that here in a second. Listen, I know you guys went swimming today, and I know you're tired, but I really want you to listen, so stand up for just a second.
Woo, jumping jack!
All right, you can sit back down.
It hurts. I know.
All right, you can sit back down now. Hey, listen. Listen, you know what? I got you guys, I get you for 45 minutes. That's it tonight, about 45 minutes. This is going to be the only opportunity you get to hear what I have to say. And it's not about me, but it's about what this Bible says. So I highly recommend that you listen. Okay? Because you might get something out of this. And we're talking about wheel ruts. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 through 17. I'm going to read here, you read up there. It says, "Therefore strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. That there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears." Now, once again, I want to point you to a word in verse 13. Make straight paths. You know what that is? Somebody guess. Wheel ruts, right? There's that word again, wheel ruts. So now we have a passage in the Old Testament and a passage in the New Testament talking about the same thing. A word that describes the spiritual walk of the believer. It tells us to live at peace and holiness. That means live at peace with people, staying in the spiritual wheel ruts. Talks about grace and about mercy. Verse 14, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. That word sanctification simply means a process of getting better in your spiritual life. See to it, verse 15, that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. Can somebody tell me what grace is? Somebody give me a definition of grace. Any of you young? What? There you go. What you need most when you deserve it the least.
What? Forgiveness when you don't deserve it.
Okay. Were you going to say? Mm-hmm. He stole yours? Okay. Very good. That's it. Grace is receiving from God what we don't deserve. That's it exactly. The fact that you're right here tonight breathing means God's grace is in action. How about mercy? What? Would somebody give me a definition of mercy? That's all right. Somebody else? Anybody else?
Forgiving somebody that did wrong.
Forgiving somebody that did wrong. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah.
Withholding for punishment.
There you go. That's what I was looking for. That's perfect. That was a good answer too, little man, but that's what I was looking for. Mercy is God keeping from us what we do deserve. And again, that's grace, mercy and grace working together. See, bitterness is what can happen when you step outside the wheel rut. When you have bitterness in your life, that means you're not in the spiritual wheel ruts. That's where you want to stay. And then it says, like Esau, verse 16, that there's no immoral or godless person like Esau who sold his own birthright for a single meal. Anybody know the story of Esau and Jacob? Somebody want to tell it to me real quick? Does that ring any bells? Right.
He knew that his brother loved supper.
Right.
A certain meal.
Right. Esau and Jacob were two, they were brothers, and their dad was Isaac. Isaac was an old man by this time. He's in a tent. He can hardly see. He can't really move around anymore. Well, his two brothers, one of them was a hunter, and one of them wasn't. Esau was the one that liked to hunt. Esau, he was a really hairy guy, had a lot of hair. Well, Esau was the oldest son, so he was to get the birthright. You see, he was to get the inheritance from his dad. So his dad says, "Hey, Esau, I'm hungry. Can you go out and get something for me to eat?" So Esau says, "Sure." So he goes out and he hunts, and he comes back, and he gets this meal ready. And what Jacob does, he actually put, I think it was lamb's wool or something. Huh?
Yeah, he puts on fur.
Yeah, he puts on fur, right? Right, he puts on fur. And he goes in there, and he gives the meal to his dad, to Isaac. And so Isaac thinks that Jacob is Esau, so he gives the blessing to Jacob, thinking that it's Esau. So Jacob deceived him so he could get the blessing. But the part I want us to see is what happened before he went in there. Esau actually sold his birthright because he was hungry. He made a bad decision. And because he made that bad decision, because he was lazy, he lost it all. You see? Because he was hungry, right? In verse 17, for you know that afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. If he had stayed the course, if he had not looked left or right, if he would have stayed in the wheel ruts, he would have been given his birthright, guys. That's what I'm trying to make you guys see. When you get out of the wheel ruts, at some point, there will be consequences. Trust me. That's what we want to avoid. Last place I want to take you is the book of Ecclesiastes. Everybody know where that is? That's a hard one to find. Ecclesiastes is one of my favorite books. Yeah, time for everything. It gives us some really good practical advice. The one who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes was Solomon. Solomon was the richest man in the world. By today's standards, he would be a multi-billionaire. Anybody ever heard of George Soros? Does that ring any bells? I know the adults have. How about Bill Gates? Everybody's heard of Bill Gates, right? You know, Bill Gates is a very, very rich man. Well, Solomon was way richer than him. He had all this wealth. He had all this power. He had everything he wanted. He had 700 wives, 300 concubines, okay? He had it all, guys. He had wine, women, and song. And you know what he considered it all? Pointless. Useless. Vanity, okay? You know what he figured out over his life? The things that really matter are the things of God. And that's what you and I need to learn to... We need to learn that ourselves, right? We need to remember that every day. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Verse 13. Somebody read it for me. Somebody with a Bible, stand up and read it for me. Go ahead. Fear God and keep His commandments. Fear God and stay in the wheel ruts. Fear God and stay in the Word of God. Okay? And that word fear is not so much like, oh God, I'm scared of you. It's the idea of respect. Respect the Lord. Respect His commandments. Came from the richest, most powerful man in the world. And his conclusion throughout all this, fear God and keep His commandments. This applies to everyone. Stay in the wheel ruts. How about Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11? Somebody else stand up and read that one. But this is the most important thing you're going to hear tonight, I think. Who wants to read this one? How about one of the junior campers? You guys got a Bible? You got a Bible? You want to stand up and read it? You don't have to if you don't want to. Ecclesiastes 3:11. Here, let me see it. You want to read it? Okay. You find it. You got one? You got it right there? Here we go. Chapter 3, verse 11. Okay. Stand up and read it for me. Okay, very good. Good job. I'm going to read it one more time so everybody can hear it. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in the heart. Yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. You know what he tells us there? God's in control and you're not. That's the first thing. You're not in control of your life. God is. God's in control of the events of your life. Don't you for a second think that you got it all figured out. Don't you for a minute think that you're getting one over on God. He sees everything. He knows everything. He's in control. Number two, God set eternity and its expectancy in the heart of every man. That means that every one of us in this room, every human being that was ever made, there's a longing for something eternal inside of you. Every one of us. God set eternity in their hearts. Quit trying to fill an eternal vacuum with things that are passing away, guys. I say again, quit trying to fill an eternal vacuum with things that are passing away. Okay? Number three, God knows the beginning and the end of a matter, so quit worrying about it and just trust Him. That's what this verse tells us. When it comes to pain being temporary and victory being eternal, you need to remember these things. God is in control, you're not. He set eternity in your heart, and quit trying to solve the matters, everything under your own power. That's my challenge to every one of you tonight. It's my challenge to myself, okay? And I want to tell you, you know, I read a passage from Hebrews tonight, and I'm going to deal with Hebrews again tomorrow. Gene and I never talked to each other before this camp. We didn't email each other. We didn't talk to each other. We didn't say, hey, man, what are you going to talk about? And isn't it amazing that he's going through the book of Hebrews 2? You know what that means? That means God, the Holy Spirit, set it up that way. Happens to me all the time. That's God, guys. You want to see some proof? There it is, right there. Okay? Only God can make something like that happen. Only God could bring that about. So He's real. It's the real deal. Thank you for your attention. I told you we wouldn't be here long tonight, but you guys have listened, and hopefully a difference was made somewhere. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity we've had to study your word and to see these great truths. I thank you, Father, for the whole concept of the wheel ruts, that we must learn to keep our lives steady and straight ahead. Father, I pray that each one of us would realize that we're made for eternity, and the only eternal thing, the only thing that matters, the only thing that'll fill that hole inside of us is the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that you be with these kids the rest of this week. And I continue to pray that if there's anyone here who doesn't know Christ as Savior, that they would come to know Him before the week's out. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.